Well, we are in the third Sunday of Advent, so we're in third in our series on if. What if we actually lived out those phrases that we use at this time of year? And today's phrase is, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, except when it isn't. You know that for everyone who is so bubbly and excited and just can't wait for Christmas, there are others who maybe are not there. We have found this picture, and it comes from a Lauren Carter, and there are two dogs. And you know, I think we can be one dog or the other. We're either the dog on the right hand side that is probably perpetually happy, and then, or we could be the other dog for whom Christmas just isn't doing anything for him. We say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but sometimes it's not. I love this time of year, usually one of my favorites, especially as this year, since I get to be with you all. It's been 6 years since I've had a congregation to walk through Advent and Christmas with, and it's just such a blessing to be with you all. Week by week. And I love the Christmas songs. So this time of year is just a great time. If you were here yesterday at the brunch, you know how much I like those Christmas songs. And one of my favorites is the Christmas song. You probably don't recognize it by title, but you do recognize the first line. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. It's a great song, but when was the last time you roasted chestnuts? Have you ever roasted chestnuts? I'm not seeing any hands out there. Well, it's not surprising. You see, the chestnuts that song was written about don't really exist anymore, at least not in numbers so that we could roast them. See, those are the American chestnuts, and at one time, the American chestnut was the most numerous tree in the eastern half of the United States, 4 billion of them. But by the time the Christmas song was written in 1944, almost all of them had died. A blight was brought into the U.S. from overseas, and in 50 years' time, it killed off 4 billion trees. It was the largest forest disaster in human history. And prior to that, people did roast chestnuts. In fact, they did all sorts of things with chestnuts because they were inundated with chestnuts. They fed them to their pigs. They ground them up. They made flour out of them. They put them in stuffing. You may still have a recipe for chestnut stuffing. Because what else do you do when you have chestnuts coming out of your ears? And they would fill up boxcars and they would ship them into the cities where street vendors would roast them on open fires and sell them like we might do popcorn, because they were as common as popcorn. But in just a few years' time, those chestnuts were gone, and all that was left is the stump. So it may be the most wonderful time of the year for some people, but for chestnuts, it's just a sad time of the year. Because it's just a reminder of what used to be and how wonderful it was. And you may feel the same way about Christmas. Christmas may be a reminder to you of what used to be, or maybe what never was. And it may not be the most wonderful time of the year. You might simply be submitting to the stress. All of the frantic crowds of shopping, trying to get the schedules to work together. Tammy's sister, we were at her house the other day, and we still haven't figured out a time for the three of those siblings to get together over Christmas because the schedules are so complicated. Sometimes it's just the chaos of the season, but other times it's something deeper. Christmas is a time of a lot of stress in families, not just the financial part, but the relationship piece. And tempers get short, and there can be anger and even violence. And when you have that, it's not the most wonderful time of the year. Or probably the hardest thing of all is if you've lost somebody at Christmas time. You know, it's never easy to lose somebody you love, but somehow when it happens around Christmas time, it seems to be an extra special dig. And even in the years to come, when everybody is reminded of the joy with all the lights and the poinsettias and everything, it becomes a reminder of what you've lost. Christmas isn't always the most wonderful time of the year for us. We can feel like we're those chestnut stumps, that our future's been cut down. But there's something you should know about chestnuts. They have a will to go on. They have an undefeatable spirit. Because here's what chestnuts do. Out of that stump, out of those roots, will rise up more trees. And they will grow up. And because of the chestnut blight in America, they usually only last maybe 15 years at the most before the blight gets them again. But it's enough to produce nuts. And those nuts are carrying on the chestnuts, from keeping them from extinction. And there are breeders working to try to develop out of those trees that will be immune to the blight. And so we can restore the glory of the chestnuts. And maybe once again, actually, roast chestnuts over an open fire. And the prophet Isaiah uses just such an image to talk about the hope of the Messiah, to talk about the hope of the Christ coming. He says this in chapter 11, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Now Jesse is the father of King David." Isaiah knows the time is coming when for hundreds of years there will be no king in David's line. But he also knows one is coming, the Messiah. And so he says it will be like those shoots coming up from the roots, from the stump. "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and of might, Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, but decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. Excuse me. And the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them." Goes on to say, "The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious." God has that same sort of dogged persistence of the chestnut. God's plan will keep pushing up. There is hope, and a little child will lead them. There are times in our life when we feel like those dead stumps, when this is not the most wonderful time of the year. But what if in the midst of all those awful things that happen to us, what if we could experience God's hope anew? What if we could once again experience wonder? What would it take? Maybe it'd take a little child to lead us. Matthew, in chapter 18, verse 3, says this. He says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So what if we became children again? You know, children don't sing, "I'll have a blue Christmas." They don't even know Elvis. But they sing songs with joy and enthusiasm. They have an indomitable sense of wonder. So what if for a moment, we let go of all the junk and we became like a little child? Because see, they see things differently. Children do. You all know what happens when you give a child a present. If they don't get caught up in the wrapping paper, well, they'll get caught up in something else. You've been there. You open up the box, you take out the toy, and what are they doing in 5 minutes? They're playing with the box. That's right. See, children, they can see and find joy and beauty and wonder in the smallest of things, stuff that we would never, never imagine. When was the last time you played with a box? Children see things differently, and they have this sense of trust, of faith, of belief, whether it be about God or their parents or teachers or friends or Christmas itself. Kids don't dwell in the past. They live in the present, and they look to the future. I've not yet met a child who wasn't looking forward to Christmas. They wait in anticipation. They want Christmas to come. And we adults sometimes say, "Oh, Christmas is coming too fast." But children, it can't come fast enough because they trust their future to God. What if we let go of the pains in the past and we trusted our future and our present to God? What if we saw differently like kids? And even kids with their gift lists, we sometimes ridicule them. My niece had one posted at her house, and it was a lengthy list, and was told that was only the first page. We tease kids about that. But you know, kids actually experience your presence as the greatest gift. Somebody who loves them being there, especially when they're hurting. When a child is hurt, it's not the Band-Aid so much that they want, it's you. And what if in our hurting, we turn to the one who loves us? We turn to Christ. There's a picture I want to share with you of my grandson, Eli. And I'm not sharing this simply because he is the cutest grandchild who ever lived. Because I know yours are the same, your kids. But I share this because of just the joy that he has. He's going to turn two on Tuesday. And so last year, he wasn't quite one. He didn't get the whole Santa thing. But this year, he's thrilled. He's thrilled to sit on Santa's lap. But you know, what really catches me about the picture is Santa. Santa is thrilled as well. He doesn't know Eli from anybody. But just to be together, the two of them, and they're both experiencing such joy. Kids see things differently, and sometimes we can too. So what if we didn't look at what we didn't have? What if we looked at what we do have? What if we were thrilled at Jesus? Someone who loves us more than Grandma or Santa. What if we became like a little child and were thrilled just to be in the presence of Christ? Isaiah knew a time would come when the line of David would be cut down, when Jesse's family tree would look like a stump, and when people would not be experiencing the most wonderful time. But he says the Messiah will come. And the Messiah will bring justice and righteousness. The Messiah will bring peace, the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the calf and the lion together, and a little child will lead them. So I've got another challenge for you. We started off 2 weeks ago, and the challenge was to find a John the Baptist ornament, and we didn't do so well. So last week, the challenge was to memorize Psalm 19:14 and to pray it daily. And you might have been using other versions, but let's just say this together from the old King James Version. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I hope you're praying that every day, but I've got one more challenge here for this week. This week's challenge is even easier. It's to do something you haven't done at Christmas time in a long time, maybe since you were a child. So whatever that might be, the kids are going to have their Christmas program. It's too late. You can't get in the Christmas program. But you could bake cookies, or you could build a snowman, or you could watch a Christmas cartoon on TV, or you could stick your tongue on a metal pole. No, don't do that one. We've all done it, though, didn't we? Okay, am I the only one? All right. Or maybe you could go on a drive and see the lights. Or just turn off the lights in your room and leave only the Christmas tree on. And just sit there in the calm and look at those lights. Be a kid again. Or go caroling. Or even go sit, well, don't sit on Santa's lap, but go see Santa. And watch the kids sit on Santa's lap and see the wonder and the joy in them. And maybe we might capture a little ourselves. Become a kid again by experiencing joy in those little things, by trusting in God, and by being thrilled to be with Jesus. For that's what it's all about. We said Advent 1, Jesus is the reason. And if we do that, then maybe, just maybe, even in the midst of all the stumps in our life, it can be the most wonderful time of the year. If only for a moment.